Nico.
Rob, good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excellent. Thank you. Just spending some busy weeks, but all good.
Good.
All good.
Good.
All good. Having a FINRA audit next week, but I don't expect anything weird there. All good. How are you doing?
Great, great.
Yeah?
Good. Yeah, I got a couple young new FAs, and they keep you hopping.
They keep you what?
They keep me hopping.
Okay.
They're like, what do I do? How do I bring in new business? And I gotta tell them, right? And
Yeah, that's what everyone wants to know.
so here's a couple of ideas for you. While I'm excited about them.
Yeah.
Here's this is look, the reality is, and people would not argue with you. If I said, do you think the economy is changing? Your answer would be yes. How fast do you think it's changing? Faster than it used to? Slower? The same?
Faster than,
Right?
Yeah.
And I would contend that things that used to take 5 years to change are happening in 2 years or even 1 year. Okay?
Yes.
So my question to you is, does your portfolio reflect the rapid changes that are occurring in the economy today? Does it?
In terms of the actual investments that you hold, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Does yours?
No. Mine? No. No.
Why not?
Because I'm not that smart. Maybe I need to have someone do that for me. Yeah. I'm not that smart, and I don't have time.
Right. So you need a financial advisor, see?
Yes.
So here we go, right? Everybody says, oh, I can do that with indexing. I can buy the ETF. No, you can't. Because your portfolio does not reflect the rapid changes that are happening in this economy today. And you don't have time for that. You need a financial advisor to do that for you. And that's your hook for your young people.
Okay.
Because everybody's going to answer the same thing that you answered. And they say, what do you mean? And I tell them, well, let me give you some examples. Over my career, the greatest companies in the world were just buy and hold, right? Just buy the index, basically. Buy Eastman Kodak, Sears, buy the General, General Motors, General Electric, General Mills, and put them away, right? So how would you have done? Eastman Kodak's out of business.
Yeah.
JCPenney's out of business. Sears is $2. Right? General Motors hasn't moved in 40 years.
Yeah, no. Oh, General Motors. Yeah. Okay.
Right? General Electric's gone to from 40 down to 13 or 14. So by putting them away and not actively managing the portfolio, you would have done horribly.
But they can argue that you can always buy an SPY, which will rebalance automatically every year, right?
Rebalancing isn't the point. You got to own the right companies. And you got to sell the wrong ones.
But how many FAs are confident that they can do that?
But let me tell you something. They better be. Okay? They better know what's going on, Nico. That's part of your job, seriously. Because right now, there's a big change going on. It's probably the biggest change we've ever had in this economy. And there are companies that are going to go down while the rest of the companies are going up. And the modern Eastman Kodak and JCPenney, in my mind, are Procter & Gamble, Clorox, Colgate, Philip Morris. These stocks are selling at 22 times earnings, growing at 3%, paying 3.5% dividends.
Growing at 3%? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm.
And guess what? They're going down every day.
Hmm.
If you buy an index, you own them.
Yeah.
Okay? My point is, you know, there's funds like the New Economy Fund from American Funds that constantly is buying the new economy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's very few. And if people are trying to get income from stocks, they're going to be buying REITs and malls that are going out of business. They're going to be buying Philip Morris. They're going to be buying these stocks that aren't going to do well. So they need you. Your FAs need you, and your clients need you.
Hmm.
And we've become passive investors. We bought into the ETF, asset allocation, by the Dow, by the S&P 500 mentality.
Yeah.
And you're going to always underperform.
Hmm. Okay, I have a... Perfect, okay.
Okay, it's a great theme. And you know what? You can save your office from mediocre. I mean, when did we accept mediocrity in terms of performance? When was that a good idea? If we don't do it in service, why should we do it in our portfolio management?
Yeah, but I think, I have a lot of people that they are stock picking their own stocks. I don't think they should be doing that. I mean, I don't think they should be picking stocks and I don't know. I struggle a little with that myself. I'll be honest with you. Do you have a fund that has consistently been beating the Standard & Poor's 3 to 5, 10 years?
Sure, the New Economy Fund from American Funds. I haven't owned it since... I own it since 1972. Okay?
Okay, I'm buying it today.
But that's not the point. The point isn't buying one fund. Okay? The point is having an opinion, being smart with that. You don't have to be an analyst. You don't, you know, what are the smart people telling you to do? What's the leadership telling you to do? Just asset allocate and gather assets. You know how sexy that is? You know how impossible that is to differentiate yourself? You can't. You can't be, you're the same as everybody else. Why do you want to be the same? I mean, how do you think we discovered Supernova? We wanted Supernova to improve the client experience, so we weren't the same. We were better.
Yes, but people need to gain that confidence that they can do that, right? And they need to be, you know, some people believe they can do that, and they're picking stocks, and they suck at it. They didn't do anything.
Then they shouldn't do it, Nico. They shouldn't do it.
But I agree with having a view. I agree on having a view of that, absolutely.
Because some people are terrible at it doesn't mean that some people... that you and your team can't be good at it.
Hmm.
Okay? And I don't mean picking stocks. I mean understanding what is happening in the economy. Really, what's happening.
Yeah.
The old economy is going away. There is a new economy.
Yes, I agree.
And so for a young guy, you know, what a great line. Does your portfolio reflect the rapid changes that are occurring in the economy today? And you said no. I was ready to open an account and do business with you. Right?
Yeah.
You'd have done business with me because you said I don't have time. Here, Rob, take over. You run it. Okay? So for once, I got a hook, right? I got a hook, which is what you need.
Yeah.
There's a new up there, right? You need it. You need a hook. Okay, the second thing that happened today was, and I've heard other FAs say this once before, my sole focus, okay, so write that down, my sole focus. Now let me tell you something. I didn't like that term because I thought it was too inhibiting. And I'll give you an analogy to this. When I wrote out Supernova, right, and we discovered Supernova, and we said, we're going to provide rapid response to your problems. We have a rapid response team. 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. That scared the hell out of me. Okay? But we did it. Because we had courage. And guess what? People loved it. Even though you don't always have to do it, they loved the idea that you were trying to do it. Okay? That you committed to doing it. And other people are scared to death of that, and they would never try it because what if I don't ring, pick up the phone in two rings or something, you know? Well, God, you know, at least your team is committed to it, not we'd never answer the phone or just leave a message, you know, that kind of crappy service. So my point is, it takes courage sometimes to focus and to be different and to be targeted. And so when I say my sole focus is this, people say, oh my God, I exclude all these other things. Don't worry about it, okay? Nobody is going to be attracted to somebody that specializes in everything. But when you say my sole focus is helping entrepreneurs, international entrepreneurs that do business primarily in the Florida and Miami area, they go, oh, that's me. Right? And they go, oh, you must know about me. That's all I do, Mr. Prospect. That's all my sole focus is helping international entrepreneurs develop their practices, develop their businesses. They go, oh, wow, this guy must know his stuff. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can put that on your website, and you can put it on your, you know, whatever. So you market it. Compared to, I help families do financial planning. You know, oh, big, good, that's big. Poor.
So this is the needs that we talked about.
Right.
It's having a need and really being committed to it.
And really being committed to it. That says that's me. When you say it, the client goes, oh, that's me. He helps people like me. He's a consultant in my industry. Not just he's an FA. He's really a consultant. He's a consultant to my industry. He knows my business.
So this was talking to someone about being focused or developing a niche or...
Right. It was talking to a team who's developing a practice around entrepreneurs in the biotechnology, genetic, gene splicing business. That's really what they're in. And it's very narrow and very focused. And they said, you know, my sole focus is helping scientists and entrepreneurs in the biotechnology, in this case, it was hematology area. Okay, it was really narrow focus. And I thought, oh my God, that's scary. He said, no, it's great. Because that's a whole niche of people, and they're all over the country, and I don't care what city they're in, but that's my niche. I'm the expert in that particular area.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows headhunters, he knows all the people in that area. It's like a guy that says, you know, my sole practice is helping authors facilitate, you know, help them develop their practices.
And what percentage of that book do you say that represents all type of clients?
It doesn't really matter. Okay?
That's the way they are marketing themselves.
That's right. In the future, it will be a bigger percentage every year.
Okay. But that's their new client acquisition or after acquisition strategies based on that.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. How's it going with Joe Torano?
Lucas, you're with who?
Torano, Molini Group.
You know, I haven't had them for a little bit.
This is the team that I think they missed the first call, remember, where told me they were all over the place and they were, no one was picking up the phone.
Yeah, it's going better. Okay, I'm sorry. I just said
it's going better? Yeah.
Yeah, it's going better, but the reality is it's always going to be a challenge, okay? Because, you know, Al is not, you know, up to this point, he hasn't shown his face, right?
Who?
So, the Al Molini?
Yeah. No, but I think, listen, yeah, I think the way they are doing it, and I don't agree with him, I told him, and I think his partner is the one doing Supernova, because Al is doing the program with Bill Gates, and I told him that he should be participating in their calls, but, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I think they kind of agree that one would do the Supernova thing, and the other one will do the Bill Gates thing, and then they will share and implement both things together, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bill Gates is just one narrow niche of marketing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How to get more referrals. We cover that in 1 week. You know, this is a year-long coaching program for the whole practice. But anyway, it is what it is. They're a dysfunctional team that I'm trying to bring some function to.
Okay.
You know, which is, you know, it's true. I mean, I won't pull any punches with you. I mean, they're a very dysfunctional team. You know, can I help them? Of course I can help them. And can you help them? Yes, you can. We can both help them. But, you know, if we had a team that was fully functional and really wanted, see, Joe and Marisol are eager learners. Okay, they want to learn. They're really eager. But you got this big elephant in the corner over there who isn't interested, but probably won't change, won't participate, and he controls, you know, all the revenues. So it's like, are you kidding? This is kind of weird.
Yeah, it's weird. I agree. Yeah.
So I think Joe will always be jumpy, you know, that somehow this is going to piss off Al or something. I don't know. So I'm always hopeful. I think they're terrific. I would like them to work as a team, and would it be easier for me if they were a team? Yeah, a lot easier. But you know, we'll do the best we can.
Yeah,
so that's not one that I want to be measured on. Okay,
Okay.
don't measure me on that one. If I were a doctor and said, "Will this patient, if this patient dies, you know, will it affect my my success rate?" I wouldn't take on the patient.
Okay. Don't worry, I won't measure you on that one. No, that's fair. That's fair.
Everybody else is fabulous. And frankly, we're too soon to tell. We only had three calls with these guys. So,
okay.
You know, usually the first three calls are hard anyway, in terms of understanding what they need to do and understanding the folders and all that stuff. So
okay.
It's just, you know, once I get into call six or seven, then they've called the client. The clients are happy. They're getting some great feedback. And life is a lot easier for the coach. Okay?
Yeah, okay. So, okay. Great. Roxana is super excited. She's, you know, she's taking over the book from the retired
right.
phase, finally, and she's starting to put plans into Supernova, so that's going really well.
And that's going to be wonderful for everybody, especially
yeah.
the client.
Yes, yeah, I agree. So, that's going well. I have a guy in Miami Beach, because Miami Beach is my small office. I have only 6 FAs there, and they have one guy that has been kind of struggling with doing Supernova, but he's not there yet. Because his head is all over the place. He's very volatile. He gets frustrated easily. He's a young kid. FYI, he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wonderful person. But he's been struggling. He's been struggling with his life. Basically, he's been struggling with the whole thing and the business, and he gets frustrated with the company, and he doesn't know whether this is something he wants to do. And this is in Mizanu's office. So Mizanu has had several talks with him. She offered him to partner up, to buy his book, but the guy doesn't know what to do. So we had a great conversation on Monday. We went out to lunch, and we really, I think he was really happy. We had a very honest conversation about this. You need to get over your frustrations. You need to, so you get an idea, right? His frustrations is to the point where he thinks that because he always does the right thing, he cares for his clients, he's not a crook. I don't want rules to apply to me. And I get mad when these stupid rules because of some crook out there in the industry apply to me. I say, what? I mean, Eric, you know, you understand that those things need to apply to everybody. So, yeah, I know. I just need to accept that. But, I mean, little things like that would get him frustrated, right? So what I asked him, and the guy has $260 million. He inherited the book from his father. He's been in the industry now. I mean, he's young, but he's probably in his 40s. So he inherited the book from his book, has $260 million. He has a massive business in assets, but his revenue is really low. He has a return on assets of not even 30 basis points. Because he talks very little, he loves his clients. This is one we're having that conversation. I don't think he has confidence in doing something other than buying an ETF, maybe. So he said how this great friend of him was asking him for advice, and he said, just buy SPY and leave it there. So he has an issue with charging a fee. He has an issue with charging commissions. Because he's so nice, right? So I wonder whether you can help me get him re-engaged. Maybe more than the Supernova program, I think it's just having a conversation to him to get his act together, right? And it's a little more of a confidence thing, and we discussed it with Mizanu, and she thought it would be a great idea if maybe you could have, I don't know, maybe two calls with him. But again, I don't think he's ready to jump into a structured, organized program. I think he would benefit tremendously from doing Supernova, but I think he needs to get there by himself. So, Would you be open to having a couple of conversations with him?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we talk, have two conversations? Just call Cindy and have him set up two calls that will be gratis. And we'll treat them as if they're coaching calls, because they will be.
Okay.
45 minutes each, and, you know, it'll be from the point of view of his own integrity, we'll say that they're interview questions to see if it's something that he wants to do. Okay.
Yeah, he's totally open to having the calls. He loves the idea. I run it by him, and he loves the idea. So he's open to it. So I just don't know. I don't think it's kind of the formal program. He attended your last presentation. So, but I don't think he's ready there to jump into the program yet, because he has bigger issues to solve before, right? So hopefully eventually he'll get into the full program, but I think there's some more there before.
Can you share what his bigger issues are? Are they just, is it a confidence thing, or is it something else?
So, first of all, I don't know his personal life, what's going on, right? I mean, he broke it with his partner, I think 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. I think that was pretty bad and nasty, so affected personally. He moved, now he's buying an apartment, so he seems to be, come from a personal standpoint, coming together. He's buying an apartment now, he just bought an apartment that he needs to remodel. Now he's going to spend a month in New York. He has half of his bookie from New York, so for the first time we are getting an approval for him to go to New York and work a month from New York in June, so that is going to be good for him. He got a new CSA that he's happy with. So that's from his personal life. He has a couple of issues. So one issue he has is he has this one big client of him that calls him prisoner in his office, okay? Because the guy trades a lot of options. The way he expresses it, he feels that he needs to be there for his clients. So finally, he's getting to the point of having a conversation with a client, and even assuming that if the client decides to leave, he's okay with that. But he feels a little pressured by that client. I don't think this guy controls his clients that well. So it's kind of, he's not in the driving seat, at least with some of his clients. Particularly with this, so we spend a lot of time talking about how would that conversation look like, what his expectations would be about the reaction of the client, and whether he's ready to let the client go if he needs to go, all that stuff. And he recognizes that for the first time he's getting ready to having that conversation with that big client of him, to say, listen, I'm not a trader, right? I need to have time to meet with clients, to whatever, be out of the office, whatever it is. So that's one big thing he has. The other thing is the confidence thing about charging, probably, I don't know about, he likes doing research and reading, so I don't think he has an issue with giving recommendations, but it's probably a confidence in terms of why should I charge so much from my services. So it's a little bit of a lack of a understanding what he brings to the table for his clients. I can shoot you an email with these things because I have my notes. And I think all of that is just creating a little bit of anxiety from a professional standpoint, and is not enjoying what he's doing that much. So
let me ask you about his dad, that he inherited the business from. Were you around when his dad was here?
No, I was not. But what he told me is his dad was very, very structured, very, very, kind of obsessive, in terms of routines and structure and discipline, and that's what he grew up with.
And so, did his dad pass away, or is he still alive?
No, he's still alive, but he's retired.
Okay.
And Mizanu knows his father. Mizanu knows Eric very well. As I said, because I'm remotely and I only started to run that office 1 year ago, I don't have that much insight. As I said, we had a 2-hour conversation lunch on Monday. It was great. Trying to build my relationship with him, but it's different from having someone in the office that I can chat with every week, right?
Is he international or is he domestic?
Domestic.
And what's his name?
Eric Hirsch. H-I-R-S-C-H.
Okay. Good. Yeah, we'll do that. I understand. And, you know, Supernova, the one thing people tell me that have done Supernova is that it built my confidence more than anything I've ever done. It built my confidence. And it sounds like this guy is... See, he doesn't want to charge because he doesn't think he's bringing any value.
Correct.
He has no confidence in what he's doing is helping anybody.
Correct.
He's probably not doing any financial planning. And
he's doing some. He's doing some, yes. He's doing some financial planning. But yeah, but he doesn't think that he brings any value to the clients.
So this would give him great confidence to get... See, what he does is he's going to suggest a 1242, do some financial planning, you know, financial planning with each of his clients. He's going to get some amazing positive feedback, which is going to build his confidence. Because his clients are going to tell him how much they like him and trust him and need him. See, and he's not having that conversation.
He's not. And he hates, I think he has that confidence issue because we spoke about his CSA. He avoids having any uncomfortable conversation. I think that's his DNA. He doesn't like confronting people or not even confronting, just having a conversation with his CSA about, listen, I would like you to do this way.
Yeah.
I think you're lagging here, you're lagging there. Literally, he shares a CSA with another FA, and literally he said, well, I thought that the other FA would do that work. I don't want to do it. So,
Well, he may be a handful for me, but I will try. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of times it's the dad is so dominant and so big, the son never feels worthy and never feels as though he's earned it. And all of a sudden he's got the company, and now he even feels worse because he didn't earn it. He was just given it. And so he just feels bad. I've seen it over and over.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we'll do the best we can. It'll be
okay.
And it, you know, I think it worked well with our ladies. They just needed a little confidence, so that worked. And they're doing great. Mizanu,
is a thrill. I mean, it's amazing what a change it produced on her.
Yeah, and Amelia, I think still we can keep her. You know, keep her. Making her appointments, she's seen much more confident than ever, so.
Yeah, I just need to keep her a little more focused, I think. I need to check on her, more often and just, she kind of go off track, easily, but she's much more engaged and focused, but she just need to do that on a more consistent basis, I think.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's what we talked about, and she was completely open to that. So she's manageable, but it's probably going to require you periodically to grab a cup of coffee and stop by and say, can I see your appointment list?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that pointed, by the way, okay? Not how you doing, how you feel. It's, can I see your appointment list?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's what she wants. She needs that. She wants that.
Yeah.
And when she has her appointments, she does great. And when she doesn't, because she gets busy, she screws up. And she gets behind. In terms of, you know, her. She needs the activity. She needs the activity. So just check on her activity. Just say, hey, I'm here to check on your activity. And she'll laugh. Yeah, she'll laugh and say, Rob put you up to this, didn't it? Say, yep.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. Okay, good.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, my friend.
I'll coordinate that with Cindy. I'll shoot you an email with some bullet points, and I copy Mijanu there, because
yeah.
He knows Eric well in case he wants to add something. But yeah, that will be very helpful.
Anything for you, my friend.
Thank you, Rob.
You've been the best. You're great.
Okay.
A great friend. You know, I appreciate everything you do for me and for Supernova and for your guys, because you're a great manager, and I mean it.
Thank you.
Keep it up.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, my friend.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.